Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 88. I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics, and joining me today are...
Donnie.
Adam.
Joe F.
The return of Joe F, who has been missing for, what, 2 months?
Just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Happy to be back.
We let him back in.
Trusty Joe F.
He paid the admittance price to come back.
You've done more episodes recently that start off the return of somebody.
Well, I'm happy people are coming back.
People, like, randomly just coming back and at separate times.
Depending on what they did, the reason that they're not here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Like, Ryan was here.
Good old Ryan.
We're not letting Ryan back. Yeah,
that was bad. And then... Sean Sisson was here.
Yeah.
Sean Sisson.
A couple weeks ago, I think. Well, it's been a few weeks. Maybe
you could get Nick to call in. Hey.
That's what happens when you build up a good cast of characters. They come in and out.
Your Green Lantern light
isn't my way. Why don't you slide your chair up a little bit?
Okay, good call.
There we go. Yeah, see? Wow, I'm a problem solver.
I didn't put it back there.
We should put a picture of our setup here so people can get an idea of what's going on. Yeah, it's called We're Sitting Around a Table by the Front Door.
Paint a picture of one.
Yeah, paint a picture. There we go.
Tweet this, Adam.
So,
sitting at table.
So, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. One thing, Joe, every week on Twitter, I try to get it done on Tuesday, is just the top polls. I don't put numbers or anything. They're just ranked in the order of, you know, most polls, not to least, but as many as I can fit in 140 characters. I got this, there's a store out in... somewhere in New York, I want to say Brooklyn, but they might not be, Bergen Street Comics, who I follow, and they started doing that, and I went, you know, wow, that's kind of a neat idea, maybe you guys would be interested to know that, and Joe's head exploded, and went, what?
I love to look at the local sales data, I love to look at local trends, and one of the reasons is that it's data that's exclusive to you, Colin.
Oh, absolutely.
Nobody else has this data. So let's analyze.
This whole thing, like, I look at Hibbs talking out in San Francisco, talking about, you know, a book like Prophet selling like crazy for him, and I'm going, I can't move a copy of this thing.
Uh-huh.
And what I like about this, too, is you guys give me crap about, you know, pushing DC and being a DC store and stuff, but this is your polls, you mm-hmm. know, you, the people who I do polls for. So, you know, this is strictly on you. My top sales won't necessarily correspond with these, but probably won't be far off.
Maybe next week. Next week we can revisit
this and see what a week's worth of sales, because you can't just do today's sales because not everybody comes on Wednesday. Thank uh-huh. goodness.
Now, generally, are your biggest sellers the books that people request ahead of time? Or are there runaway hits like Age of Ultron or something that people?
There can
be
like that, but there can also there's books where I might only sell 30, but 27 of them are to polls.
Uh-huh.
Where other like if you look, Age of Ultron's down at the bottom of this list. Thanos Rising isn't on the list at all, mm-hmm. but that's probably going to be one of the top sellers. It's just a thing people didn't ask for it; they just assume I'm going to have it. Which I do, but it is part of what makes this a little bit more difficult. Could you make a little more noise, Adam? Just wondering. Thanks.
I'm trying to be very quiet.
Yes, jingling your keys. Yeah. Sorry. So, I mean, a lot of my orders are guesswork. Like I said, Age of Ultron is probably going to be a top seller, but it's way down, barely above Deadpool. Where Action Comics still has a lot of pulls, but that's probably going to start dropping because of the... writer change. So we'll see where all this plays out. So basically on my list is number one was Detective. And you were asking me to give a reason. Just it's Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been solid. Even when the people didn't really like the Tony Daniel issues, they've really stuck through it. Because it's Batman. People really like Batman and they're sticking with it.
And it's also
art. I don't like his writing.
Who took over for Tony Daniel?
It's gotten better.
Right now it's John Layman, the guy doing Chew.
He's actually been really good.
Who's the artist?
Fabok.
Jason Fabok.
The guy who was on Dark Knight Return. Or
Dark Knight.
Dark Knight.
He's Dave Finch's protege.
Yeah, right. So then Green Lantern, which has been good. And I didn't even realize it, but talking to my DC rep, we'll get a little bit more into that phone call in a bit. He was mentioning it's the end of that... Jeff Johns has been doing for 10 years on Green Lantern.
Wow.
So, and that's been a strong book, so that's up there. Swamp Thing, now, I look at this as proof of the success of the new 52 relaunch. Because if they just came out with a Swamp Thing book, it wouldn't be in my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
It would be, especially under Vertigo, it would be, I'm selling 15 maybe. Mm-hmm. But on this now, I'm selling, 40 copies of Swamp Thing. Now, granted, it's got Scott Snyder on it. who was a big draw, but this is the first one post-Snyder. So, and I didn't notice anybody putting it back. And if you're thinking of dropping it, I wouldn't, because this was a really good issue. And the other thing, Snyder stuff was like one very big, long story, where this looks like it's going to be a little two-issue story. There's not a lot to it. And I kind of miss that. I don't always want the big, overarching story. Sometimes you just want a little two-issue story. I'd love to get something like that with Green Lantern again, because that's been an ongoing event for the last 10 years. Then All-New X-Men, which has been a real... That's one of the big success stories out of the DC relaunch, or the Marvel relaunch. Or not relaunch, sorry. Marvel Now. People really jumped on that and really liked it. And it's been good. And it's coming out like crazy. What was this, issue 11 or something in 3 months? Superior Spider-Man, I have to say my Spider-Man numbers are up big. So this is still holding people's attention.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, people were crying gloom and doom 2 months ago.
I now have as many pulls for Spider-Man as I was selling Spider-Man completely. And Spider-Man's one that, you know, sells a lot off the shelf.
Wow.
So that's good seeing that. Next one is another one of those surprise ones, Earth 2. This wasn't even part of the New 52. This was in the second wave.
Uh-huh.
It's been a great book, and I think the nice thing with Earth 2 is that you don't have to know anything about DC to be able to read it. It's reintroducing all new characters, or, it, you know, J. Garrick Flash, but it's a completely different J. Garrick Flash. It's, it's Alan
like
Scott,
Ultimate.
Green Lantern. Yeah,
it's
kind of...
like how they
did
with Ultimate, but doing it with, like, Golden Age characters.
Yeah,
oh, really?
But it's been really good.
James Robinson was quoted this past week saying that when the collection is released... it's expected to be in the New York Times top ten sellers.
Over two, because the first one already came out.
Yeah. Did the sellers list come out? That might be what it is.
I don't pay attention to that.
Sorry. I'm going to have to look that up.
It's good, though. It is. It's really good.
But now another success from the New 52, is the next one for me is Animal Man. Now, granted, I'll give Swamp Thing and Animal Man are books that I've pushed, trying to get people to try because of the creative team, because I'm a big Jeff Lemire fan.
Is Lemire the one taking over Swamp Thing?
No, Charles Soule, or Soule, I don't know how to pronounce it.
And what's he famous for?
Nothing, really. He did 47, which was a little, or no, was it 27?
Okay.
Which was like a music book talking about...
By Image.
Yeah, and that's about it. So there was something they must have liked, because they gave him this, and I think I just saw him on something for Marvel.
Uh-huh. That was a rock and roll comic in reference to how musicians... often die at age 27, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amy Winehouse, Jimi Hendrix.
Janis Joplin. But Morrison. All of a sudden take over Swamp Thing, which, I mean, granted, you want somebody non-mainstream on a book like Swamp Thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's doing well. But then Animal Man is doing real well. Indestructible Hulk, which Mark Waid has really got it good. I really did not care for Jason Aaron's run on Hulk and stopped reading it quite early on. But this one's holding interest. Then Action Comics. Now, that's one of those... I don't know if that one's going to stick. that'll go more to my phone call with DC, too.
Mm. Did you read the newest one?
No, not yet. I only read... Stupid hockey season is killing me. So I only read 3 books last night, and then I read one I do want to talk about this morning, because it was kind of funny. It's spring break, so I didn't have to get the kids up. So I was awake. Sandy went to work, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I can have another cup of coffee before I leave for the store. And it was quiet. Everybody was asleep. So I decided to read Polarity by Boom, which was a really neat book. But then we get to Age of Ultron. Well, I know Age of Ultron is probably going to sell more than Action Comics, Indestructible Hulk, Animal Man, Earth 2, probably even Spider-Man. But just this is the number of pulls I have. How many people have told me they want it. Now, a lot of people are still getting it. They just, until you tell me to hold it for you, I'm not normally going to automatically add it to your list. And then after that, Deadpool, but since Donnie put his back on the shelf, that would drop from that spot. But
I was surprised to see Deadpool on there.
People like Deadpool. Deadpool has always sold well as long as they keep it contained.
Uh-huh.
Deadpool, last time around, did great. And then they added Deadpool Team Up and Deadpool Core. And there was another Deadpool series. And all of a sudden it had 4 series and people just unilaterally went, you know what? I'm done. That's enough Deadpool. I'm good. And they dropped all Deadpool. And all of a sudden, where I was selling 40 copies of Deadpool, I'm down to 12 copies of Deadpool. And I'm
fun in small bursts.
Yeah.
But
so one a month or something is good. But
why do you think Marvel does that? They have a title that's selling good. They all of a sudden add 3.
if one is good, four is better. Honestly, I think it's, you know, it almost goes back.
Spider-Man for the longest.
It goes back to old Animal Farm, you know. Yeah, but I think it's just strictly, yeah, if one is good, four will make us four times as much.
Hmm.
And then when it crashes, okay, well, that didn't work. What are we going to do next? Oh, mm-hmm. We'll put a foil cover on it.
Burn it out.
Instead of, where that's one thing where I do like with DC, where, now granted, I'm saying this is they're adding a new Superman book and a new Batman and Superman book, but for the most part, you know, we get one a month, and they just, you know, churn that stuff out. So, but that's the top list. And, I mean, it's different every week, because we get different books every week. But it's always fun when I see All-Star Western, like, at the top, where that's one where I only sell three off the shelf. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them are pulls. But I know it drives Matt nuts to see, you know, my second bestseller that week is All-Star Western above, you know, any Marvel book.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you're skewing. Your people don't know what they're reading. Okay, maybe you're dumb.
People don't know.
Fair enough.
Matt says that?
Yeah, well, no, he responded one time to my tweet, just basically saying, mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
Your customers are stupid. Yeah. Okay, not enough Caligula, but... Caligula? So, yeah.
Caligula?
Caligula?
So, the book, yeah, the one I want, just want to really spotlight today is Polarity, which is a neat little book. It's just a little four-part book. The reason I grabbed it was a customer asked me to hold it for him, and this is a customer who doesn't ask me to hold anything. So it was just out of the blue. I'm like, okay. And so it came out, and I'm looking at it. It's got a great Frazier Irving cover, and I love Frazier Irving. So I'm like, okay. So I threw it in the stack to read, and like I said, this morning, all of a sudden, I had free time. I was actually awake. That's my problem with a lot of these books. I can get through Spider-Man not being completely awake, but some books, like East of West, need to be awake to read that. A lot going on. So, you know, there I was, second cup of coffee, you know, nice, peaceful. So I decided to read it, and it was fascinating. And I guess it's very autobiographical. The Megan knows about the author.
The Megan.
What?
You said the Megan?
The Megan. A Megan knows the, and I guess it's about a guy who's bipolar. It's an artist who's bipolar, and I guess it's all very autobiographical. I don't know who the author is, and I'm sorry, but he's some band. And the guy just kind of lost it, went and thought he was a superhero, and sat in the middle of the road and got run over by a car. Well, they realized that... Okay, you're crazy and you need these meds. So he's on the meds, and all of a sudden all this art that he had created trying to figure out what his problem was is all of a sudden he's famous, but now he's boring. And so he decides to get off his meds, and he gets off his meds, and it's just very, very interesting. And then a real twist ending that I'm not going to come anywhere near giving away because you don't see it coming. And it's just one of those you just read and you're just like, wow.
Is it an ongoing?
It's just four issues.
Okay. And you're talking about issue number one.
Yeah, issue number one just came out today. It's from Boom Studios. And it was kind of fun because I basically tweeted, I said, I forgot even what I tweeted, but it was just basically saying this was really, really exceptional. If you're looking for something different, try this. And mm-hmm. I got retweeted by the editor-in-chief of Boom, the owner of Boom, by Boom, by the author. It was just kind of cool.
Who's the editor-in-chief of Boom?
Matt Gagnon.
Okay.
Or at least he's... in some high editor position. Mm-hmm. But Ross Ritchie retweeted me. And it was just...
Wow.
It was cool. It made me feel important. You know, as important as, you know, all my best friends on Twitter can be. So what I say... Yeah. Oh, there you go. Polarity one by Boom Studios was quite fascinating. If you're looking for something different, give this one a try. Max Barris is his name.
Max Barris.
Or Bemis. I'm sorry.
Bendis.
Need bigger print. Max Bemis is the author of it. But it was really good. So if you're looking for something different, it's not superhero. There was sex in it, Donnie, but it was undercovers. So no nudity.
I get all that in Saga. And,
okay.
And sex. The book.
Oh, yeah. Sex 2, I think, is next week. So another one. It was fun. Also, yesterday I tweeted a picture of my stack of 10 copies of Punk Rock Jesus that came out today. Because if I haven't beaten you over the head with it enough, I'm a big fan of this book.
I didn't see that before.
I got that. See, get that. Yes, now that print they sent when my wife bought me the double page spread, they sent that to her, and okay. So she had it framed.
Yeah, no,
so yesterday I tweeted, I took a picture of the stack of the 10 Punk Rock Jesus I got in, and tweeted to Sean Murphy saying, you know, here there's a stack of goodness. You know, I can't wait for more Sean Murphy work. You know, yeah, okay, I was fishing a little bit. But then he responded back, holy blank. And so I started talking to him. I said I'd get 10 times that in if I can get you in the store for a signing. And I ended up, we emailed back and forth, but he's just too busy with the wake with Scott Snyder coming up, which is fine. But just kind of wanted to point out, I sold 8 of the 10 Punk Rock Jesuses today. So I had a feeling that wouldn't make it through the weekend, and I definitely don't think that stack will make it through the weekend. So I hope you guys like it, who bought it.
One of them went to me.
There you go.
I bet that Sean Gordon Murphy is so cool in person.
He is. I've heard he's a really nice guy. My DC guy who I talked to said he's a really nice guy. I told him the pages I got, and he knows them. So that was cool. But going back to my phone call with Stuart at DC, basically when I talked to him, I said, he calls, and I said, Stuart, what are you guys doing there? And he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, he had made a point that he hoped he didn't piss anybody off at WonderCon, because he says he has a habit of making people very upset and he doesn't know why. And I said, well, stop talking to writers. And he was like, what? I said, well, you know, Andy Diggle on Action is a nightmare. And this stuff that's going on with Green Lantern is a nightmare. And he's like, well, why? I said, because I'm having a hard enough time getting people to stay on Action, because they were only reading it for Morrison. And I, you know, was pushing Diggle, and now Diggle's there for one issue. He's like, yeah, we know. And then I said, same thing with Green Lantern. And that's when he brought up that Johns had done 10 years. I'm like, yeah, and so I'm trying to keep people on these books, and all of a sudden it's being co-written by people that nobody's ever heard of. I'm sure Robert Venditti is great, but nobody knows who he is. And all of a sudden, he's co-writing all the Green Lantern books. I said, these numbers are going to plummet. What are you doing? So he didn't have an answer. He just basically said editorial. He's in sales, so he has no control over any of that. But I at least was able to express my displeasure over what's going on and how tough it's making it for us. Now, the only good thing for us is, as store owners, is that because these are creative changes, we'll be able to return these issues. So if they tank, we'll be able to send them back. So, which is fine, but that's not the best way to handle this. I'm looking on like Comic Shop or Comic Book Resources, and they have Marvel's changing all their writers right now, but they're doing it in a less violent or angry way that DC is, and they're having these interviews with, like, Jeff Loeb's already off Nova, but there's an interview with him and the guy that's coming on taking over Nova, and I forget what Charles Soule is taking over some book, and there's an interview with both of them. So it's like a lot of changes going on. It's just when it happens at DC, it's all very angry.
Why is he off of it?
Who?
Jeff Loeb.
He's the only one to do 4 issues, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny, since it was promoted on the back of, you know, the next Jeff Loeb.
Right. So, and, well, like, we already have Simonson on Thor for a couple issues now. And there's somebody already taking over Savage Wolverine that I thought was the whole point of this book was a Frank Cho book. But in the new previews, it's already a new writer and artist on it. So
I read that the Savage Wolverine is a recycled Indiana Jones plot that Frank Cho had put together.
I haven't read any of them, so I can't vouch for that. But
I'm looking forward to it a little bit more after hearing that.
Okay. I don't think Wolverine hates snakes, though.
Yeah, why did it have to be
snakes? I don't think he'd have a problem with snakes.
Well, they can edit that part out.
Said he says, I like snakes. That's just out of nowhere.
So let's get you guys involved a little bit. Age of Ultron, who's reading it? I know you're not, Joe. You just be quiet.
Shut up,
so
Joe.
I'm just wondering what your guys takes. I realize number 4 just came out, but there's like not a week I can't, a new one doesn't come out. 5 comes out next week, 3 was last week. But what are you guys thinking?
Well, I didn't read number 3 because I forgot to buy it last week. So, but the first two.
I blame Megan.
Yeah, I do too. Well, she went, that was when I showed up real late. No,
oh.
That was Chuck.
It was Chuck.
Last week was...
We'll blame Chuck. Okay.
Yeah, it was me and Chuck and we were here. You were here. She was gone.
I'm always here.
Yeah. So, well, it wasn't her fault. This
week
was
it was my fault. No.
I'm causing dead air right now. But yeah. Anyways, the first two are okay.
That wasn't dead air. You were actually talking.
Yeah, but gibberish.
Right. You know, it's kind of funny because sometimes I'll be driving in and I'll be listening like to the fan or 105.9 in the morning, and they'll just be rambling about something. I'm just like, don't care. Next. So hopefully, people don't do that with the podcast. Good stuff's coming. Maybe.
The story is decent. Like it's a regular story. I just don't know where it fits in. If it fits in anywhere, yeah. Or if it's even supposed to. Sometimes I wish they would let us know if it's supposed to fit in or not.
Yeah, my big confusion last week was that Spider-Man one-shot, which was good, and it was really good for helping Doc Ock learn more about why Peter did stuff and why maybe Peter was writing stuff. But it's so clearly Peter in the main book and not Doc Ock that I'm just like, okay, how does this makes no sense. This is very confusing. But I did like the Fantastic Four tie-in.
That I didn't read.
Well, maybe you should.
I usually don't mess with tie-ins. But the rest of you should.
Because I have none on the shelf, no. But, okay. Well, you need to get caught up then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I,
we'll talk more next week about Age of Ultron. I don't want to give. Yeah, if you haven't read three, I don't want to give away the surprise ending of number three.
What about that?
Well, we already know what's going to happen at the end.
Where that guy was there?
Yeah, there was a guy. Only half a guy. Yeah.
The Angela or whatever it is.
Yeah, well.
The Angela.
Is that what her name is?
Yeah. Oh, wow. It made that big of an impact on you, Donnie.
No. That's what we were talking about.
She's right up there on that Spawn cover.
Yes.
Oh, is that her?
It's on the right.
Is that why you buy it? Buy it now.
Of course that's why I
bought it.
The rare issue. The rare issue. Only printed 2 million copies.
For $10?
I think that's what we have for. But Mile High had it for $70. So look at the bargain I'm giving.
$70.
You only have one.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
But, okay. So then.
Is that the big thing at the end of number three?
No. Oh, she's supposed to be at the end of the... somewhere at the end. Although they say she's not the big solution to the whole problem.
Okay.
Hmm. Which would have just been really silly, but...
Which means we probably shouldn't talk about the announcement of the book that's coming out of this, either.
If it was announced, let's talk about it.
Well, it might give away.
What, the AI book?
Yeah.
I looked at it and went, okay.
Well, that's
Avengers AI.
Machine Man. Did you see one of them is a Doombot, which I thought was funny.
Cool. One going to be Misty Knight, so she can be in another book since she has a robotic arm?
No, they have to be full robot.
Oh, full robot. Danger?
Danger's not in it.
Why not?
Because the Avengers, for some reason, only let mutants into one team.
The guy from The Runaways is in it. The guy with the robot hands, right?
Yeah.
I like that
guy. Is he a full robot?
I think he is a full robot.
Yeah, because you have to have... It has to be AI, so...
Oh.
So it's Vision.
Vision?
Victor Mancha. That's the guy from The Runaways. The Doombot. Mm. Who else?
Machine Man.
I think they're one.
Jocasta?
Yeah.
Jocasta.
No. She's not in it. At least she wasn't on the cover. I thought that was odd. I questioned that myself.
Huh. Well, we gotta have Jocasta in it.
Seems like a very exclusive...
Is it Jocasta or Yocasta?
Good question. Because if this was the NHL, I'd say Yocasta, because everybody in the NHL is like Jaromir Jagr.
Well, do you remember the Odyssey? The wife's name in the Odyssey is Yocasta.
Okay.
So that's why I always, because they pronounce it with a J.
I think you have educated us all in the proper pronunciation.
I don't know. Like, it all depends on what the creator, but I've always questioned that, what her name pronunciation is.
I think you're right.
Like Dokken, we never knew how to pronounce it.
Dickhead. Well, yes, we do.
Joe does.
Doesn't matter. He's dead. We don't care.
He exploded, didn't he?
No, he got drowned by his... Wolverine drowned him, which wasn't very nice.
Drowning your own kid. Father's Day card for him.
No.
Which issue was that?
It was the last issue, or the second to last issue of, or maybe the last issue of Uncanny X-Force.
Oh, really?
The Remender run.
But then he came back after being exploded?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he must have come back after being exploded. I don't remember him being exploded.
Yeah, he got exploded in something.
In his own book.
Did he get blown up real good?
Was it his own book?
I think
you're right.
I think Remender's run came after that, though, so maybe he did come back. That must have been it.
Okay. So, let's segue on to Walking Dead season finale.
I'll start. I didn't think it was actually as bad as a lot of people were thinking. I kind of like the direction it went in, because it went in a totally different direction, which is exactly what the show does.
Yeah.
And I love that, because even as a fan of the book, I'm watching this and I did not expect that ending. I like the idea how, and I've talked about this before, but the key word of this show was trust. This season, trust was like the biggest word, because after Laurie dies, Rick doesn't trust anyone but his own opinions, and then finally at the end of the season, he learns to trust, and that's what causes him to stop seeing his visions. But no, I thought there was a lot, you know, going on. I loved the episode before that with Merle, and I kept saying to myself, why didn't they let him lead this? They would have been done if they would have let him lead, like, a battle into their complex. Why he didn't say what he was doing. Because mm-hmm. I think they could have ended that right there with his plan. But all in all, though, I didn't think the episode was that bad. It was different from what they've done, so...
My only question was
about what they're going to do with the fourth season.
When they brought everybody from the town there, and I understand why they left the town because the governor is still out there and stuff. But how are these people going to react to? I was sleeping in a bed. Now you have me in a cot.
Yeah,
there's zombies in the basement.
I agree. I don't think
they're going to feel nearly as safe as they would have been in Woodbury.
Yeah,
and now they have all these other people to feed.
Yeah, where are they going to get?
How are they going to do that? Now, granted, they could probably clear the yard and start farming or something there, but now they have more kids to take care of the baby, or more grandmas to take care of the baby.
That's true.
But that just struck me as very odd at the end was, you know, now you're just bringing in all these new mouths to feed.
I liked one of the questions on Talking Dead. Somebody called
in. I didn't
in.
Finish watching
they that. Asked what happens. They're bringing all these elderly people in. What happens if one of them dies in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
So... You know, that's all
the elderly people are locked up.
Yeah.
You're old, you're locked up.
You're staying in there.
Yeah, no, that's a good thought. One thing I thought would have been neat was with Milton, if as he turned, all of a sudden he went, you know, and he was able to control himself and going, gosh, these people couldn't, you know, all these people just let themselves go. You could actually control this because that's kind of what the science he was doing, trying to figure if they retained a memory. And then it was proven, I guess, that he didn't, although we never saw exactly what happened with him.
You better.
My other question was, so apparently you can get out of a pair of handcuffs with a wrench.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't... Her whole situation made no sense.
She just would have shut her mouth and did it real quick. She wouldn't have been dead.
Yeah, she just... That took so long for her to do. It didn't make any sense.
Or just stab him in the head with it. Mm-hmm. Instead, somehow she let herself get bit.
Yeah.
My only...
Not concerned that
complaint is... I understand it loosely follows, and I don't have a problem with who died or who didn't die, and I don't care that, you know, things didn't pan out how you thought they would. It's just, this was supposed to be the season finale. This is where you go out guns blazing. Like, the coming next week trailers made you think, all right, this is going to be, like, some huge battle. And it just was more of a whimper.
Yeah, Governor shot all his own people.
My whole thing is maybe they're saving that for the season premiere.
Like, he's going to come back and...
Because he's still out there.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
And they're all in the prison.
The network might have said, you want to kill off this guy? Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with, like...
They got to take him at some point. Because they got to move on with the story. What are they going to do with that character?
It's just, this is where you're going out until you come back in October. This should have been, like, the big fireworks and everything. And
yeah.
I just wanted to see a bigger battle. More excitement.
Yeah, than him just popping his own guys.
But yeah, it was, I mean, I didn't think it was horrible, though. I enjoyed it. I'm ready for the next season, but now we have to watch.
Oh, now what are you doing?
I gotta find the scene of...
Oh, I don't think it's been collected yet.
Oh, it hasn't?
No.
Okay.
Or if it is, it's in a hardcover. Because it was, yeah, it was right at the end, and then they just went right into the next one.
After Age Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Okay.
They finally got to the point, the part where Carl finally kind of, you know, when he shoots that kid, it's the same kind of scene as when he, I mean, I think it was a little more brutal in the book because he kills this little kid.
Yeah.
But he finally did kill somebody. And not understand why he did it.
Pretty coldly, too.
Yeah. Which is funny, they kept calling him Little Governor.
They called Carl
Little Governor because... He's pretty well the same type of character. Like, you know, he has to kill to stay alive and this and that. And then what's funny is if it keeps going and Carl gets his eye shot out, then, well, he gets an eye patch too, so.
Oh, just like the governor.
Yeah.
Whoa. They never did that in the book, did they? They never called Carl the little governor because it happened so much later.
No,
that's so awesome.
No, I call... Well, they've been calling him that for the show because his attitude is very similar to the governor.
Uh-huh. But you made that connection independently of the show that if he gets his eye shot out...
Oh, yeah, he actually will be a little governor, yes.
That's cool.
Even though the governor... Didn't he lose, like, limbs? I thought he lost an arm.
Lost an arm, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Michonne did a number on him. So that was a little shocking Especially because they even showed him with those rings and the chains. So that was basically what Michonne was stuck in. And then, so, I mean, he can certainly come back and do all that.
I think they're wanting to drag it out a little more. I think they're wanting to take this in the season four a little bit and then have the final something happen then.
Well, I guess, too, if you think about it, after they did leave the prison, it was kind of, like, there wasn't really much to it until they found that other town where, you know, where they're at now.
Whatever it's called. I keep forgetting.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but there was a lot of space.
Well, because it was after that, then there was a lot of stuff with the phone, and then they finally ran into, what was it, Gabriel?
Yeah.
And that group, and then they found that town, so, yeah.
Was that the priest, Gabriel?
No, he was the big military guy.
No, that was Abraham.
That's Abraham. You're right. You're right. Sorry. My biblical names were.
We've got Ezekiel now.
Yes, and a tiger.
And Jesus.
And Jesus. And
Jesus. But then we found out that really wasn't his name.
It's Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry. You'll find that in the next issue.
What is with you?
You already read it.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's actually
not telling you what
Jim Bell.
I like that.
I think it's Paul.
Jesus.
Paul.
Yeah.
Is it Governor
Paul
Jr.?
Luke. Mark.
What?
Governor Jr., his governor's brother?
No. No.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
It's the mayor.
The mayor.
Mayor McCheese.
We've got to be about to for another hardcover on that. Let me get caught up.
Of what?
Yeah,
Walking, Walking Dead?
Dead?
No, we're still we're just in the new previews is number 18, which is will be the second half of the hardcover.
Mm.
So it'll be a while. Probably 3 months.
What is the next hardcover? 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
caught up.
The last one ended right before the storyline with the big that ended in issue 100, and it ended on a relative note of hope.
Yeah.
But I know what's coming. I know what's coming.
Do you know what happened?
What a tease! Well, I know what happens in issue 100, but I don't know all the details. I'm looking forward to reading it.
How can you do that?
What, look forward to reading it?
No, how can you read your comics, like, out of, like, sync or
patience,
something.
Patience. Actually, you know what it is?
Well, how did you know about issue 100?
Well, it's all over everywhere.
I browsed it on Colin's shelf.
How is that patience?
John Byrne calls it stealing.
Yes, he does.
That's Byrne.
Byrne stole it.
They have this in the...
I'll remember that, Joe.
In the DC animated cartoons, like, at the beginnings of, like, the ones that have shorts, like the Shazam Superman story... They show this intro where it's a comic book store and they're going around the shelves and like there's a bunch of people like reading books and stuff and I'm like, has anybody ever been in a comic book store where the guy's just reading the whole book and then he leaves? Like, where is this?
It's not a library.
And then we found Joe and there he is.
No, but I read them in the collected edition. It's just that so much comes out, okay? That I'm so far behind. I've even stopped buying new collections because I'm focusing on getting caught up. And to give you a sense of how far behind I am, I bought all 6 Scott Pilgrim collections the summer that movie came out, and I'm reading them now.
It's pretty behind.
Yeah.
That is a lot behind. That was 2-3 years ago, wasn't it?
Scott Pilgrim is awesome, too. I'm really enjoying
You're way behind, Joe. We've known this for years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's old news.
Have you guys read Scott Pilgrim?
I read the first 2. No, saw the movie.
The movie really captured it well, and
I'm not a fan of what's his name for Arrested.
I was just gonna say having Michael Cera as the star ruined it because it turned it into a Michael Cera movie rather than a cool video game influenced, comic book influenced piece of pop culture.
Maybe that's why I didn't want to read the books because I did see the movie and I was just like he wasn't really my favorite character or person in Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was okay, but it was because of everybody around him that he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Before that movie
came out, Michael Cera's career just, like, took a dive because he, like, following Arrested Development, where he gained a lot of popularity, he did Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist and, like, some caveman movie or something.
That wasn't bad. That was actually pretty funny.
You like that one?
I didn't like Juno. But this is really off of comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Edit.
I didn't realize that because maybe she wouldn't know like about that.
They changed
it's not a short box podcast. Come on, stay focused.
We don't talk about random nonsense on short box podcast.com. But you're right. What's his name? It's really creepy. Him and that, I'll end this, but him and.
I think
books are just avalanching off the shelves.
The ghost is back.
I have to say also the guy from Zombieland.
Yeah.
It's like the same type of guy.
Eisenberg.
Yeah, I cannot stand that kid. He's just, he's really hyperactive. And then, what's his name, Michael Cera?
Yeah.
He's just like, he doesn't, like, know what he's doing. Like, he's jittery.
Michael Cera had lost so much popularity by the time that came out that the movie poster for Scott Pilgrim doesn't show his face.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's turned around.
They didn't want to remind people that he was in it.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say anything specifically for him. I don't know if it'd be enough to keep me from seeing something, but I had no interest in Scott Pilgrim anyway.
Really? I seriously didn't like that movie, Juno.
Nope.
There's a lot of reasons.
You're against teenage pregnancy?
No, I'm against the idea of the end of the movie where
I didn't see it.
She is just allowed to give up the baby for adoption and go live the rest of her life. Because I don't like... She knew what she did, and she should have took care of her, this kid.
You like to see people deal with the consequences of their actions?
Yes.
Like you have to?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
That's why I didn't like that movie. I thought that had a bad message.
Can we talk about comics?
You didn't bring up an one.
What do you think a good comic book is where somebody deals with the consequences of their actions?
Superior Spider-Man.
AVX Consequences.
Iron Man.
I'm going to go with Green Arrow when Speedy gets AIDS.
Speedy got AIDS?
Mia, Speedy got AIDS because she lived life as a prostitute.
No, she got AIDS because Judd Winnick was writing the book.
What? Does he give his characters AIDS or something? Who else did he give AIDS to?
I don't know specifically. From what I hear, that's his kind of...
His signature move. Yes. Yeah.
So, Donnie, what did you read lately that you liked?
East to West.
Explain.
Well,
I know that's a really hard book to summarize. People were asking me, so what's it about? I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of like steampunk Wild West with the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Wild Wild West?
And then they look at you funny. But it makes sense. I really liked it.
It's like, if you like Morrison, you'll probably enjoy it.
Yeah, well, it's a Hickman. It's your standard Hickman.
Yeah, it's just like hard to follow like a Morrison kind of book. But Hickman, like Avengers also, if you can't handle large plots, then... Yeah. Probably want to stay away from it.
Although, do I have to say, with Avengers, people are shying away from it a bit. I don't know specifically why, but the fact that the main character now is Starbrand, and he's referencing Kickers, Inc. and all that stuff, I don't know if people really want to return to the new universe, where it might be neat toys to play with. I don't know. People don't seem all that super interested.
Which title is that?
Avengers.
The main Avengers.
Main Avengers.
The main character is Starbrand.
Main storyline. I don't know what the new one... He's front and center on the cover that came out today.
That's crazy.
Or no, was it today? Was the new one today? Hmm? No, it wasn't the new one today. Maybe it was last week.
Guardians of the Galaxy, though.
That was good.
I went into it not knowing anything about any of them, and it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, the Zero I liked, and the One was a little thin on story, but I thought it was good. I'll stick up with that. I didn't have a whole lot of faith in that either. Because I'm like, this is for a movie that's not going to be out for... They're still casting, so it's going to be a while. Because everybody's like, oh, the movie's going to be out this summer. I'm like, no. Not really.
Who knows about next summer?
Oh, they've been playing up that for...
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Since Thanos was shown in Avengers. I mean...
Ray Park is definitely going to be Rocket Raccoon.
Park?
Yeah.
Darth Maul?
Yeah, Darth Maul, a.k.a. Snake Eyes, a.k.a. Gollum.
How can you... He was a Gollum.
Sure he was. Gollum was CGI over Ray Park in a motion capture suit.
Seriously? That was Ray Park?
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a different guy.
Yeah, I thought it was a different guy.
Well, look it up and check it.
Oh, Adam's looking it up.
I'm going to look it up just in case.
Everybody, look it up. Well, I can't ask you now. Joe, what have you read lately you liked?
Well, other than Scott Pilgrim, let me think here. Oh, you know what? How about Batman the Odyssey by Neil Adams?
Okay.
I thought it was a really interesting romp.
Okay.
Through
romp! Holy cow! Romp
through Neil Adams' mind, because it was like Neil Adams wrote it and drew it.
Right. And I just heard crazy things about it, like him being naked at the end of every issue, or...
Well, he was shirtless for a number of issues while he was in the Batcave telling the story to somebody who was writing it down. I don't recall him being naked.
Okay. I just remember hearing that. Just like somebody was like reviewing it and going panel by panel, kind of just like live tweeting it or something. And they were just like, what? This guy has clearly lost his mind.
Well, the thing about it is that when an artist is also the writer, and we saw this with things like when Tony Daniel was on Batman, they write for themselves a series of cool events that they want to draw. And they also know that they have to sell those pages later, so they put the character in costume on every single page. And, you know, they may do things that don't serve the narrative the way that a writer might, you know, okay. add a page for added storytelling effect. But, you know, overall, I really enjoyed reading it because, I felt like I was reading a cool Batman story that really felt like an odyssey, that there was a lot of weight to every single issue. Every issue was very dense. You know, usually I can read a 6-issue collection in one night, whereas this read more like...
Because it was 13 issues.
Huh. It was two 1-6-issue, 1-7-issue series, but every single issue had so much density to it that I could really only read one in a sitting.
Was it Andy Serwin or something like that?
Circus.
Okay,
Circus.
I was wrong. Circus. Anyway, maybe
Andy... Get out!
Yeah. Andy Serkis is a shoo-in for Rocket Raccoon then.
Oh, you think it's him who's going to be Rocket Raccoon?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Anyway. I was going to say, I couldn't really see him as playing that character.
Uh-huh.
I see it being all CGI, so yeah.
Well, I mean, he might do the animations and stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the Batman The Odyssey, though. It was a true odyssey where it took Batman, you know, through Gotham City, and he interacted with a number of his villains and his allies, then into a completely alien world where he, you know, fought more like mythical creatures and, you know, dinosaurs. He rode giant bats, rode dinosaurs. He went on a crazy adventure. Something straight out of the mind of Neil Adams.
Okay.
He's always on a crazy adventure.
I feel like I know Neil Adams a little bit better after reading this.
I just want to mention something. He, the last issue of, what's that online book that comes out in print, the Batman book?
Legends of the Dark Knight?
Yeah. In that, he fights a dragon.
Oh, yeah?
That was interesting. But it has really cool art, and I can't remember who the artist is right now. I can't think of his name right now, but it was really cool. But anyways, something that I've liked recently. Daredevil. Daredevil's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they keep throwing out like characters in it, such obscure characters, as the villains. Like, who was it that they brought out? I don't remember now. The Spot. Which is a character that usually nobody can care about.
For some reason, Stilt I thought Man. He was invented for that.
No, he was in Spectacular Spider-Man, I want to say 100.
Yeah.
And he's just such a Ditko character, it's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I don't know if Ditko had anything to do with his creation, but he's a total Ditko character.
But the big thing in there is that, I can't remember his name. His assistant. His
Foggy Nelson?
Foggy. Uh-huh. Foggy has cancer. Man.
Oh. Spoilers! Spoilers! Wait, before we get too far from that comment, Colin, what makes the Spot a Ditko character?
Just the way they drew him. There's a certain way. If you look at how
you're saying, because he's lanky,
the way he the comedy aspect. Because when you think, you know, the last thing I remember Ditko doing was like Speedball.
Okay.
So there's that humor aspect to it. But, yeah, it was the lanky stuff, the way, like, he's walking through one and his head's coming out the next.
Yep.
And it just, I just remember reading it when it first came out, just thinking, wow, that's just so Ditko. And I was reading that when I was, you know, 12 or 13 and could identify that.
Hmm.
I haven't read those issues in ages. So I don't know if he did have anything to do with it, but it just had a very...
Whoever did.
Vibe. But the lanky, the, just the,
you know,
the...
I don't think Steve Ditko... Drew him, you're right.
I don't know if he drew him, but because like he was doing ROM back that time. Sorry, Donnie. He was doing ROM, and he did. He was doing some Marvel team up stuff, so he may have had something to do with it.
Yeah, he might have. What? Who was doing Spectacular Spider-Man?
Bob McCloud.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We're gonna wait. Everybody, wait. Act like you're looking at Colin.
Pause.
He is on. We'll paint a picture for him. Colin is right now typing into his iPad. What is what he's searching? Spectacular Spider-Man. Something or other. Now he's looking. He's very serious about it.
No,
or confused. I'm not painting a very good picture.
You are not good at this.
I'm nervous.
Nobody else is listening.
Well, you guys, what else have you read that you like besides Daredevil?
What's Donnie's turn? Donnie,
why
what else
my
have you
iPad
read?
Locked
I went.
Yeah, well, we're going around again.
Now I'm on the spot. Speaking of spots. Bedlam's been interesting. Not great, interesting.
I'm way behind on that. I don't know what happened. I think issue two was really good, or issue one was really good, and issue two wasn't as good.
My, well, I don't know, that might be a spoiler if nobody's read Spectacular Spider-Man today, or Superior Spider-Man today. I can say this much. They said whether or not Massacre was killed or not. So that happened. They've spent three issues, though.
There we go.
The only problem I've had with this so far is they spent three issues trying to make it look like...
Yeah, no, it was created by Al Milgrom and Herb Trimpe.
Who?
Al Milgrom and Herb Trimpe.
Oh. They used to make fun of him a lot.
He's such a Trimpe character.
Herb Trimpe.
What? I remember.
I don't know if Herb Trimpe. How many characters did Herb Trimpe create?
Just the spot.
Just the spot?
He said, I'm not going to top that. I'm getting out of here.
He drew the first Wolverine appearance.
Did he?
But in he did Hulk? Not design. Yeah, he didn't design Wolverine.
Oh.
You know who did? John Romita Sr.
Really?
I'll spoil that for you.
You spoiled it.
Well, now, see, now there's no reason
that just
for me
covered,
to buy
that. That just screams Ditko.
Uh-huh.
Everything about that covered, was it? Spectacular, was that 99?
Well, he's a full body character, too.
Yeah,
he's,
but even the Spider Man
he's
looks,
not built
looks
like a
Ditko.
Superhero type character. Yeah.
You're
but,
saying,
okay, so it's not Ditko, but I think it is.
But Spider Man was a Ditko character.
So he was.
What?
Al Milgrom was obviously influenced
yes,
heavily by Ditko.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily saying that, like, all characters after they were made by Ditko, people just drew them like Ditko because they didn't, but. A lot of people will do that because that's how they picture this is how Spider-Man's supposed to look.
I like those little dots on Spider-Man's eyes, like pupils on the giant.
Those are Ditko dots.
Yeah.
Ditko dots, like Kirby dots, yeah.
Someone needs to add those dots in.
Don't break my sign.
I didn't even know I hit it.
Well, you're the only one sitting near it.
I moved this chair up.
Yeah, neon signs aren't cheap either.
Willpower is no match for a glass pane.
Well, we better wrap this up before Adam breaks something.
I got breaking.
Okay, so. That's all we got. We'll talk more Age of Ultron after you guys have a chance to read number 3 and 4, Donnie.
Yes.
That's your assignment.
Well, you've probably read 5.
I have read 5.
Oh.
Yes.
And you thought it was the greatest comic ever. Brian Michael Bendis told me that all was going to be revealed.
In number 5?
No, someday.
Someday? To, yeah. Oh, that's nice of him. Someday!
No, he didn't really. That's
all
what
will be revealed.
My thing was, is there ever going to be continuity again? And he said, all will be revealed.
Someday.
And I was like,
that's
yeah.
Swell of him.
All you need to know is it's going to shake the core of the Marvel universe.
Just open
as
your wallet.
As we know it.
Yes.
It'll change everything.
Marvel will become DC. That's how everything's just going to get torn asunder.
I hope so. I would do that if I did Marvel. I would destroy the Marvel universe. But Thor, he can go and hide anywhere he wants because he's a god. So he could come back and be like, "Well, there was this universe I was from, but it's gone now." You know, that would be fun. Let's end it.
Okay, we'll end. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Than a bullet leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in a coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking achieve it on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Let my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with cerebral mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like. That's how we do it in the 616.
Hey, yo, Vince. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah.
Spitting the rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will babble these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock, when I'm killing it, yo, please. Shots to your chest, you're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm live when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that